Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, everybody. This is the day that our Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and blessed to be with you this morning and to be a child of the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I am so happy to be with you this morning to know that God is real and that he's real in my heart, real in my mind, and real in my spirit. Thank you, Father God, for loving us more than we love ourselves. Thank you, God, for just being with us. Whew, I'm so excited. We have a great word this morning. Just a reminder who we are. Just a reminder of what God brought his people through and what Jesus did for us. The enemy is going to come at you. And I'm going to tell you, he's coming at you before or after a move of God in your life. When you are looking at your mountains a mess, understand from your mountains a mess is going to come a message. From all the tests is going to come a testimony. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. And we have to walk in that sound mind that God has given us. We got to walk in the knowledge that God said, I will give you what you need. When he said, whatever you ask for, I will do it. In Jesus' name, whatever you ask in Jesus' name, I will do it. So God is our help. He will give you a word to protect you when the enemy comes at you. The word of God, patience. When you tempted to use that equity, God will save you from temptation. When you tempted to tell a joke that falls on the wrong ear, you better pray God protects you from that slap upside the head. We better understand that words have power. And the word that you use is love your neighbor as yourself. The word of God tells me to love my neighbor as myself. There's so much folks, there's so many folks, excuse me, I want to say, that need Jesus. Run into hate-filled rhetoric of claiming to love the Lord. Following hate-filled speech and speeches by claiming to love the Lord. Looking at your neighbor some kind of way but claiming to love the Lord. Cannot allow the enemy to tempt us to hate each other. To tempt us to follow after other gods and idols. When a person becomes more important to you, thank God it is an idol. When you bow down to man or to a man or to a woman or to an entity that is not God, it is idolatry. The word tells us thou shall have no other God. Warning. In our word today, the devil comes at us again. He tries to tempt the Holy One. Jesus used the word of God against that temptation. And we have to learn to use the word of God against the temptation. The The enemy is real. And he really does. My pastor says it all the time. He comes before or after a move of God. I had a move of God over the weekend, my pastor and I. As I told you yesterday, we went to a phenomenal women's conference. So another shout out to Sisters United in Christ. Awesome conference. Yesterday, I had to pick up my grandchildren who live probably about 45 minutes from me when I make all the lights, maybe an hour if I don't. And it was like everything got thrown at me. I'm going to pick up my babies. It's like an accident happened on the interstate. I got stopped by a train. Every red light and its brother seemed to be on my path. And then I started to pray. And all of a sudden, my light started turning green. I tell my grandson that if you have something to do and you start getting red lights, pray. And then once the light turns green, say, thank you, Jesus. And I do that. I did it. And I'm going to tell you, them lights started turning green, and I started going. And all I could say was, thank you, Jesus. You know, my story is I taught that to my grandson. He and I were together one day, and we kept getting red lights. I said, we got to pray. I said, we got to ask God, Lord, we need some green lights because we got some place to go. Okay, but we got to make sure we say, thank you, Jesus, when we get a green light. And so we just thought, all of a sudden, green lights just start popping up. And all of a sudden, from this car seat, all I kept hearing is, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And we said it together, because thank you, Jesus. Because I'm teaching them how to give God thanks even for the little things, like a green light. And he was with his parents one day, and the light was red. And he said, Jesus, we need a green light. And they looked around and said, what did he just say? And the light turned green. And when they got through the green light, he said, thank you, Jesus. And they said, oh, he's been with his grandmama. So we got to teach our children to say thank you, Jesus. When life is going rough, say thank you, Jesus. Because, again, from your mess, it's going to come a mess. Believe me when I said, I know I'm working on one of mine. Hallelujah. And I'm thanking God in advance for my message, for my mess. Because we got to trust him. We got to lean on him. And we got to stand on the word of God. Father God, this morning we come to you, lifting up the name of Jesus, thankful, grateful, and blessed to be your children, God. Asking you, Father God, to let this word come alive in our hearts and our minds and in our spirit, that we know, oh God, that you have given us a blueprint to live by. It's called the Bible. You have given us everything we need in the books of the law, how to eat, how to sleep, how to live a righteous life. Father God, may this word increase as we decrease. May you, Father God, increase as we decrease. May the Savior increase as we decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For Father, you are my strength. You are my strength and you are my redeemer. Lord God, give me clarity as I read your word and teach your word. Lord God, let it come into my being what you want me to say. Remove Bridget and replace her with you, Father God. Let this word touch someone's heart today, that if they do not know Jesus, they will get to know him today and say, what must I do to be saved? Lord God, let them know that it's just to confess Jesus Christ as their Lord, that he is alive. He's not dead. He's alive in our heart. He's alive in our mind. He's alive in our spirit. He is alive and sits on your right side. Father God, we thank you that he is interceding every minute, every moment, every second for us. We thank you, Jesus. And it's in your name I pray, believing and trusting in the word of God, that it is true and that it's safe. Amen. Let's get into the word this morning. Thank you for your prayers. I'm sounding better, feeling better. Had a really good night's rest. Thank you, God. I needed that. I needed to sleep. And so I am so thankful I had a good night's rest. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 17 on this March. And so we will be reading Deuteronomy chapter 17 through chapter 18, verse 22. We will read also Psalm 37, verses 37 to 40, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 20 to 22, and Luke chapter 4. And in our Luke chapter 4, we will be reading verses. I'm gonna stop here. Verses 1 through 30. And it is the temptation of Christ. Again, we are saved from temptation by the word of God. The word of God saves us from temptation. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 17, Deuteronomy. You shall not sacrifice to the Lord your God a bull or sheep which has any blemish or defect, but that is an abomination to the Lord your God. If there is found among you within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you, a man or woman who has been wicked in the sight of the Lord your God in transgressing his covenant, who has gone and served other gods and worshiped them, either the sun or the moon, or any of the hosts of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it is told you, and you hear of it, then you shall inquire diligently. And if it is indeed true and certain that such an abomination has been committed in Israel, then you shall bring out to your gates that man or woman who has committed that wicked thing, and shall stone to death that man or woman with stones. Whoever is deserving of death shall be put to death on the testimony of two or three witnesses. He shall not be put to death on the testimony of one witness. The hand of the witnesses shall be the first against him to put him to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people. So you shall put away the evil from among you. If a matter arises which is too hard for you to judge between degrees of guilt and bloodshed, between one judgment or another, or between one punishment or another, matters of controversy within your gates, then you shall arise and go up to the place which the Lord your God chooses, and you shall come to the priest, the Levite, and to the judge, there in those days, and inquire of them. They shall pronounce upon you the sentence of judgment. You shall do according to the sentence which they pronounce upon you in the place which the Lord chooses. And you shall be careful to do according to all that they order you, according to the sentence of the law in which they instruct you, according to the judgment which they tell you, you shall do. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left from the sentence which they pronounce upon you. Now the man who acts presumptuously and will not heed the priest who stands to minister there before the Lord your God, or the judge, that man shall die. So you shall put away the evil from Israel, and all the people shall hear and fear and no manner and no longer act presumptuously when you come to the land which the Lord your God has given you and possess it and dwell in it and say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me. You shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses. One from among your brethren you shall set as king over you. You may not set a foreigner over you who is not your brother, but he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt. To cause the people to multiply horses. Okay, let me start over, because my words are kind of moving in together here. Verse 16, but he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to multiply horses. For the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again. Neither shall he multiply wives, except lest his heart turn away. Nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. And we all know that the multiple wives can get you in all kinds of trouble. Ask Solomon. What happened? 1,000 doggone women got him in trouble because he started falling after other gods. The wisest man ever created fell because of a whole bunch of women. The Lord had spoken in his word. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself. That's what God said. Not my word, but God's word. Also, it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priest, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of the law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brother, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. God had already spoken in Revelation that they would have a king one day. And he's also given an edit of how that king needs to conduct himself, that he should stand on the word of God. Keep us from temptation. Chapter 18 of Deuteronomy. The priests, the Levites, all the tribes of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat offerings of the Lord made by fire and his portion. Therefore they shall have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he said to them. And this shall be the priest's due from the people, from those who offer a sacrifice, whether it is bull or sheep. They shall give to the priest the shoulder, the cheek, and the stomach, the first fruits of your grain and your new wine and your olive, and your oil, and the first of the fleece of your sheep. You shall give him, for the Lord your God has chosen him out of all your tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. We're talking to Levites. So if a Levite comes from any of your gates, for where he dwells among all Israel, comes with all the desire of his mind to the place which the Lord chooses, and he may serve in the name of the Lord, his all his brethren, the Levites too, who stand there before the Lord, they shall have equal portions to eat besides what comes from the sale of his inheritance. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire of one who practices witchcraft. Y'all better listen. Or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, a one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. But all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God for these nations which you will depossess. Listen to Satan divine. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. Don't get it twisted. Don't run over because psychic hotline. I'm on my way. No, you're not on your way because I didn't call you and I won't. I know who my daddy is and he said to stay away from your behind and that's exactly what I'm doing. We got to stop and listen and study the word and so many things we see. If you watch any of these shows out there these days, they got all kind of stuff dealing with witchcraft, dealing with men, dealing with all these kinds of things. You know, you got the Stitching Time. You got the, what is it, the Discovery of Witches. You got, it's so much I can't even see my mom. It's so, the Witcher, I think it's called the Witcher. All these things out there. Dealing with witchcraft. You know, dealing with vampires and werewolves and demons and everything but an angel. You better understand what's the one. It's dark material. Again, out there. We better understand God is watching everything. He's watching it all. And he's watching us. And when I tell you this, you know, I read it some years ago, but I just found it in my book, Witches in the Pew. And it talks about the fact that you have to watch as well as pray. When you go into churches that you don't know, and you listen to that word, you watch how the service is being conducted. The preacher went in to preach a word in a church in Louisiana, not knowing that this church had been set up by a coven of witches. And when he started talking about witchcraft and demons and possession, all of a sudden, these five women stood up and went to all the corners of the church. And all of a sudden, he almost couldn't breathe. He couldn't talk. And something was happening to him. And then he looked around and he realized that veil was being placed upon him. And he started calling on the name of Jesus. And he said he got out of there and didn't look back. And he prayed. He started using the word of God. He started using the word of God. We've got to be careful where we place our feet. Just like we know that Jim Jones was full of the devil. But he spoke with that sheep clothing on. And how many their life drinking the Kool-Aid, as they say, don't drink the Kool-Aid. With a gun to your head, to your baby's head. Many drank the Kool-Aid and died. Men, women, and children died because they were listening to a false prophet that was led to temptation. You got to know the word of God so you are not walking into a coven of witches in the guise of a church, being manipulated of a church. We got to be careful. And we got to understand, as my mother-in-law says it in us, the word of God says it. All the time, I didn't understand it until I read it myself. Watch as well as pray so that we don't get tipped by the wiles of the devil. be careful where you place your feet on Sunday. Watch what you're checking out. If you're doing it for one reason, don't let the enemy sneak in with something else. Because you got to know what your children are watching. You got to know what your children are listening to. We got to understand. You got to remove that craziness. When folks are listening to folks talking about necrophilia, you go, whoa, wait a minute. That's got to go. Listen to the stuff your children are listening to. Everything is the B word, the H word. Talking about young women like they nothing but less than a dog. We got to stop that. All of that falls into the occult. All of that falls into what we listening to. Back that rump up. Watch what goes into your ears and what comes out of your mouth. God is giving us a blueprint. It says, the Lord your God will rise up for you a prophet like me from your midst. And this is Moses speaking. From your brothers, him you shall hear according to all you desire of the Lord your God in heaven. In the day of the assembly, say, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Now let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren. And we talk to Moses. And we know that he raised up Joshua and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. And I can tell you some prophetic words went on in my church a year ago. I believe it was a year ago. And I can tell you something. Everything that prophet told us is coming to pass. That's when you know he was genuine and he was of God. Everything he said is coming to pass. I'm believing God for signs and miracles today. I'm believing God that everything we ask in the name of Jesus that we do not pray amiss, he will give to us. I'm believing God that all things are working for good for those that are trusting in him. I trust in God today. As the song says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Thank you from the late Andre Crouch. That was one of my songs to get me, got me through college, through it all. I learned to trust in Jesus. Learned to trust in God. And neither one has let me down. Hallelujah. The blameless man and observe the upright. For the future of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. But salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. The Lord God will deliver me from the wicked because I trust in him. We got to start speaking it over our homes. Lord God, I ask you to remove anything not like you from the midst of my home. Ooh, hallelujah. Let God show you what you got to get rid of in order for him to come in. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that word. Proverbs 12:20-22. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. No great trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Can I say that again? Lying lips, abomination to the Lord. But those who deal truthfully are his delight. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But those who deal truthfully are his delight. Proverbs 12:22. We got to keep that in our spirit. Understand there are folks that's going to stand in your face and lie to you. And again, you got a whole pile of evidence. And yet, it may take time for you to get them. Because we got to be very careful. Because the devil comes to church. And the devil comes to church to look for his next victim. Are you going to be a victim today? Are you going to trust in the Lord? And our last word for this morning. It's coming out of Luke 4:1-30. And this is where our title is coming from today. Because even Jesus, our Lord and Savior, got tempted. Even Jesus got tempted. So why would we think we wouldn't be? Ooh, girl, you know you need that new car. You know, it might be knockoff Gucci, but you'll be rocking Gucci. Nobody need to know it ain't the real thing. Ooh, you know. You need that Louis Vuitton purse. Ooh, you know what? You can get this. You can get that on sale. You know what? It is real. They just discounted it at the store. You know you want that purse. You know you want them shit. Oh, God. Ain't nobody got to know they not that. Nobody got to know they not real. Yeah. Just wear them and act like they are. If anybody asks you, tell them you got it at the store in Chicago. And let them think that it's real. Just lie. They don't need to know that you're rocking a fake. Just tell them that it's real. That's the voice of the enemy. Telling you to lie. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But those who delight in truthfulness are delight. If it's a fake, say, girl, I got it over at my cousin's house. She sells these things. It's really nice. And rock it. Hey, you pay for it, but you know it's fake, and don't be ashamed to say it is. If it's real, it's real. If it's fake, it's fake. It's still a purse, but you still put your stuff in it. And it still carries just like any other purse, including that $2 one that you got at the Dollar General store. It don't matter. In labels and stuff. Big time. Been there, done that. Got a whole bunch of purses to prove it. Creating confusion in my home. A whole lot of stuff. And no place to put it all. We better understand that God is not wanting us to be hoarders. He's not wanting us to just accumulate. Because, again, we speak this all the time on this show. You cannot take any of this stuff with you. You can't take it. It's not going. When you leave, it's going to still be here. Somebody else will have to deal with your junk, your stuff, all of the stuff in the world is absolutely nothing. If your soul is not right with God, don't allow this enemy to tempt you to overspend. Because he's good at that too. Then they got to overspend T-shirt. Don't allow him to come at you. We're going to eat out when you got a refrigerator full of food. Don't let him tempt you to do what you know you don't need to do. You don't go over to Boo Boo Nim's house when you know all kind of stuff and temptations is at Boo Boo's house. You don't walk down the street. You don't go inside the street. You don't go over there every time, hey, pretty girl, come on in. And then you got the boobette. Hey, baby, come on in. And you wondering what's going on when you done lost your life. You better understand the temptations come at you in every form you can imagine. They come at you. Come at you slick and all sweet. And the next thing you know, you're all stuck in the muck and the mud. You got to be careful. But you got to trust in God and stand on his word. When temptation comes and you stand on the word of God, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Can you say it with me? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Where therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. If you will worship before me, the Son of God, you have the nerve to before you. And what Jesus say? Use the word of God for that temptation. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Catch that. Put it in your arsenal when you are tempted. Oh, girl, you ought to come on over to my church. Well, what do y'all believe? Girl, we just believe that whatever, however you want to live, it's all right with God. However you want to be, it's all right with God. However you want this, and that's not the word. We don't follow all that old-timey stuff. We do our own thing. And, girl, we got a slamming band. You need to come on over and hang out with us. We dancing in the eyes. You know, we all over there. We just do what we want to do. Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Girl, it'd be high up in there. You know, because, you know, some people come in here smelling like a little weak, you know, a little loud, are you? Wrong. Don't go. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Well, my pastor, girl, he is so fine, and girl, he know how to preach a word. You feel good when you leave that. Okay. But what do you preach on? Oh, no, he don't use no Bible. He know the Bible inside out, upside down, and forward. Say, no, we don't even carry Bible. He just tells us, don't worry about bringing no Bible, because he got all the word, and he's going to teach it to us. Wrong. Put a pen in it. Don't go. Well, you know, girl, he's close to Jesus. He really is. He real close to Jesus. All I know is that he got a prayer through for me. Because, you know, I need a new car. And Pastor made sure I got a new car. You know, yeah, but, you know, my interest rate is kind of high, but that's all right. Because Pastor made sure I got a new car. Yeah, I bought it from my pastor's dealership. Because, you know, he on houses. He on cars. All he say is that what he wants for us is if you own a house, you need to sell your house. And you need to move into one of his houses. You know, and you know, he's going to get you your car. And if you don't have a car, he's going to make sure you get a car. You know, you just have to make sure that you, you know, you don't leave the church. Does that not sound like a cult? Does that sound shady? You got to be careful where you put your feet, that you are not walking into temptation, that you're not walking into the devil's sin. You've got to be careful. And you've got to live as Jesus said. When Jesus said to the devil, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from there, for it is written." Then he's going to try to use the word against Jesus. He'll try to use the word against Jesus. He shall give his anger charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. So let me say this. When we're talking about Pastor Ray Ray, Pastor June June, them pastors, what it was, but just a bit tweak it for their benefit and your expense and the expense of your soul. Understand, the devil knows the word of God too. He knows the word of God too. That's why we study, to show ourselves approved, because you never know when you got to fight with this word, the temptation of the enemy. But then Jesus said, come back and see it. And it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Bam! Back at you. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Then Jesus returned to the power of the Spirit of Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the glorious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not John, Joseph's son?" Not even when they throw up the past. "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "You shall surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard of done in Capernaum, do also here in your.'" Then he said, "As surely I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, and the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the bow of the hill which the city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. And gonna kill him. His own town. People that he probably knew since he was a child wanted to kill him because he said he had fulfilled the word of God. And you're not gonna tell me that any of them would have found that boy is a little different. He's a little different. And then somebody said, well, you know he glows, girl. That baby glows. When he gets to reading the word of God, it's almost like he comes off the floor, he just glows. And now that he's back, now it's who he really is. And some life lessons from our work in Deuteronomy 17:19. He shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. Bible study helps us to fear God and obey his commands. Keeps us humble and lengthens our life. And during times of storm, it gives us an immovable anchor. My anchor holds against the soft rock, which we know is Jesus. And this is from also Deuteronomy, when we were talking about the occult. It says, forbidden practice of the occult. Most believers readily recognize that the Bible forbids the occult practices of Satan worship and witchcraft. They might not have it so quickly identify other practices. While the Bible forbids and rebukes the practice of astrology, including the use of horoscopes, y'all catching that, and predicting events by the alignment of the planets. Many Christians consider the harmless fun to consult their horoscopes in the daily newspaper. God says it's not. And I'm going to be honest. You know, just I can't talk about anybody, I'm going to talk about myself. I used to read my horoscope. Ooh, let me find Pisces. And I'd read it. One day it hit me. It's like, do you realize what you're doing? You are going to a horoscope instead of going to God. And I quit. We got to not go looking at that, even though you think it's no big deal. It can be a big deal. Another practice, divination, fortune telling, is forbidden in many places. Other scriptures could be included, but the scripture makes it abundantly clear that the practice of fortune telling is occult in nature and therefore forbidden. The Bible also condemns other practices such as enchantments, sometimes referred to as an incantation, spells, or charming. God forbids the practice of magic. Of course, there is a considerable difference between one who practices magic by tapping into supernatural forces and those who perform acts of illusion that depend on sleight of hand, not supernatural powers. A friend of mine is a master illustrator. He is great at doing tricks, but he explains to his audience that his tricks are just that, tricks. Illusions, and they have nothing to do with magic or supernatural powers. His ministry enables him to talk about the occult, but he makes it clear that what he does is blocked. Probably you have enjoyed our trip in a show and never considered it dangerous. As children, many had their fortunes told at Halloween parties, at school. Some consider the use of a Ouija board a harmless form of entertainment, in no way connected to supernatural powers. But we need to remember that the practice of attempting to contact the dead through the use of a medium is strictly forbidden in the Bible. No believer should ever play with the occult. Believers shall play with the occult. And as we can see, it says in Deuteronomy, and we'll put the words in his mouth. Jesus Christ fulfilled this prophecy. John 1, verses 21-27, John 6:14, and John 7:40. So it was appropriate that Moses appeared to Jesus at the transformation, Matthew 17. Verses 1 through 13, that is a powerful, powerful word. Deuteronomy 8:22, when a prophet speaks if the thing does not happen to come to pass, the Lord is not spoken. Since God always keeps his promises and always fulfills his word, any prophecy or prediction that has a source other than God. The salvation, Psalm 37:39, the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is a strength in the time of trouble. When hard times come, we often feel listless, powerless, weak, and worried. Even when we don't have these feelings, we feel alive or we are really weak. We must find our strength in God, for his might never wavers. Find your strength in God today. We did do our blood. In the power of the Spirit of Galilee, Luke shows us that Jesus fulfilled his entire ministry by relying on the power and direction of the Holy Spirit. When we rely on us, as Jesus did, some power in his ministry with that. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, Luke 4:21. Everyone knew that the text Jesus read, Isaiah 61, referred to the ministry of the prophesied Messiah. Therefore, at the outset of his ministry, Jesus was making a direct line to be the Messiah. And they got mad. So let's go one more time. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, the recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Do you know Jesus? Today is a good day to let him come into your life. And our prayer for this today is this. On this March 28th, repentance manner. Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. For the kingdom of heaven is near. Merciful One, you are full of forgiveness. Thank you for your heart filiation, waiting for the opportunity to fold your children into your arms. Lord, you see how many times I choose my own desires over connection with you. I don't want to live in an unending cycle of selfishness and guilt that leads me to you. Lord, you draw me in with your kindness. How could you be so patient with me? I see that my selfish ways leads to destruction of relationships. I don't want that life. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. I turn away from them and turn toward you. God of love, I ask that you would fill me with your presence that gives me life. Thank you for your mercy that I knew every day. You've never maxed out on forgiveness. I am humbled by you, God, and I gladly submit to you today. And the word that God had for this morning is this: is there something that is keeping you from connecting with God? If it is, today is a good day to repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Matthew 3:22 NLT. And as always, before we get out of here, a word, Carolyn, this morning. And a word from Sister Carolyn is this: pray until your situation changes. Miracles happen every day, so never stop believing God can change things very quickly in your life. Have a meditating Monday, family. And again, keep God first in all you do and stand on his word when temptation comes at you. Know that God's word will save you. Keep that word in your arsenal. It is in your armor. Put on the full armor of the Lord today and watch him protect you and watch over you. Father God, I pray the coverage of the blood over each and every one that is listening live or listening later. Father God, as we depart, I pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee. While we are in Jesus' precious and holy name, I ask, Father God, to cover each and every one of you, to cover you with his grace, his mercy, with his love, and his kindness. Father God, I ask you to continue to guide us and lead us in the way that you would have us go, that we will walk in righteousness. And Father, put your words into our arsenal of our weaponry, that when the enemy comes at us like a flood, Lord God, we have the standard of your word to protect us. In Jesus' name, I look up, giving you honor, glory, and hallelujah praise. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day that you have made. We are rejoicing and are glad in it. In Jesus' name, amen. That is all I got this morning, family. That is all the word for today. Put it in your heart. Put it in your mind. And understand the word of God saves us from temptation. When that temptation comes, to open that paper and check your horoscope, stop and say, oh, not today, Satan. Keep it moving. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap.